Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off the Field, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I know I certainly did, and it's in part because I got an opportunity to witness the marriage of one of my closest friends, one of my dearest friends. So special shout out to Andromeda and Jamil Norman. The Normans were wedded in holy matrimony this past Friday, and because of the wonder that is technology, we got a chance to share in their special day, which is great because I've been behind the scenes talking and toiling and planning with her since this all began, and 2020 really threw a monkey wrench in everybody's plan. But I think two things. First thing I want to say is this is a testament to sharing the joy and not allowing the turmoil that has been brought upon us because of 2020 to stop us from doing the things that we know we need to do. That's the first thing. So I'm glad that they decided to go ahead and do the wedding, that they decided to share with family and friends that could not be present physically because of the restrictions due to COVID. But more importantly than that, I think that COVID has challenged us to live in the moment. It has challenged us to put focus on what's important. And I think a lot of times, you know, people say this all the time, you see the worst in people when it comes to weddings and funerals, because people just decide to use those times to really act out. And I think that because COVID has put restrictions on us, restrictions on how we can do things, restrictions on how we can, what I like to term, move about the cabin, how we deal with everyday things in our regular life, it has allowed us or created a situation where we really cancel the white noise, say the fuck with the minutia, and just focus on making what's important important. And what was important is that two people who loved each other got an opportunity to share that moment. And it was just as beautiful as it would have been if 100 people were sitting in a congregation or in an audience watching it happen. It was just as beautiful, if not more beautiful. And I think that that's amazing. So congratulations to them again. Andromeda is definitely a co-host, and so I'm sure she'll hear this at some point. And then I got to participate in the first birthday of one of my other dear friends, Brian. His daughter turned 1, and her birthday was via Zoom, her birthday bash. So happy birthday to Brooklyn. Brian is also a co-host and a fellow podcaster in the community. He is on the podcast, The Jigsaw Podcast. So check that out when you get an opportunity, because that's what we do here. We support one another. That's what it's all about. We're not in competition. We're in support. So that was a well-rounded weekend. Other than that, I just kind of chilled out, didn't do much, which was great. I mean, I got together with some friends. We actually watched the wedding together, which was cool. And then before you knew it, it was Sunday evening, edging into Monday morning, which was very, very sad. But I decided to do a thing today, which was get out and vote. So for all of my Georgian co-host, early voting started today. Polls opened up at 8 a.m. and I decided to go ahead and go for it. I think I got in line about 9:30 and was back in my car about 10:50 or so. Give or take. Either way, when I calculated it earlier today, I was in line. My total voting experience from waiting in line to actually voting, getting back in my car, was about 1 hour and 15 minutes, and it was well worth it. There were no issues, pretty smooth. I know that some other counties, I'm in DeKalb, and so I have some friends who were in Fulton, had some difficulty at the earlier part of the morning, but it seemed to move a lot faster throughout the course of the day, and I saw plenty of people voting. It's so important. It is so important. And don't waste time, don't tarry. Get out there and vote early because it's an opportunity that we have. I know that there are some people who are caught on waiting to the day of the election and not caring how long they have to wait in line. That's bullshit. It's too important. to be dealing with all of that. Just go out there and vote. And with the confirmation hearing starting for Sister Amy today, if that wasn't enough reason to compel me to wait in that line, even though it was drizzling outside, it was important. And I'm glad that I rocked my vote, and now I can relax and breathe easy in terms of my part. All I can do now at this point is kind of encourage other people to do the same thing. And to that note, let me be clear. If at any point in time we're in conversation and I realize that voting is either not important to you, it's not something that you've done, it's not something that you've thought about, you don't have a plan, fuck you. Like, straight up. I was literally talking to someone today and they were like, oh yeah, I need to vote too. Has registration ended in Atlanta? And I literally was like, huh? Like, how could you, as a person of color, as a black man, as a black gay man, not be fully aware with what the fuck is going on in the world? No, we can't talk. We can't. Like, I don't understand. Get out of here. That's ridiculous. Don't be him. Be better than him. Don't be like that. If you are not, you don't have to watch, you know, debates. You don't have to be active in politics. You don't have to understand the electoral college and all those different things to their full extent. But for you not to be aware of whether or not registration is over, or if your register is pure bullshit at this point, and I have nothing for you. No kind words, no support. I was literally flabbergasted. But, you know, such is life. You keep moving. So, definitely. Oh, and also, if you are even joking at about voting for Trump, I have nothing for you. I just was on the phone with someone who was like, I think I'm voting for Trump. I was like, okay. And he was like, you don't want to know why? Fuck no. I don't want to talk about it. Well, why? Because I said so. Like, I don't have time to entertain the bullshit. Like, this is not a joking matter. It's not funny at all. Like, lives are at stake. We're in a situation where this is very fucking important, and I need everybody to take it to heart. So those are my tidbits on that. What I want to talk about today, second chances. I'm a Christian and I believe in second chances because I serve a God that gives us not just second chances, but chance after chance after chance. But I think it's important for us to, when evaluating if a second chance is available, if it is fair, to really assess what that means for you as an individual. Oftentimes we are made to believe as black folks, as church folks, that we always have to be positive, that we always have to turn the other cheek, that we always have to be forgiving, that we always have to forgive. And while all those things are true, we're still human. And some things border the line of unreasonable. And we have to take that into account. We have to look at what brought us to this point where we were even having the conversation about second chances, where we were even talking about the importance of reevaluating a space that we've been in. And you should always do it, or you should always go into that space after assessing the situation from your perspective and not the other person's perspective. It's very easy for us to get caught up in the redemptive qualities of someone else. It's very easy for us to bend and give into the fact that people are saying the things that we want to hear, that they are displaying differences that we want to see. But this is the truth. And, you know, we're surrounded. If you grew up in households with your grandparents, knew your grandparents, or around anybody who was of a certain age, there are all these adages that they used to say, these old sayings that many of us didn't realize what they meant functionally or how they apply to our lives. And they would say these things to us and we would be like, what does that even mean? mean, grandma? What does that even mean? What are you talking about? But old habits die hard. It's something that I think about when we're talking about looking at a situation and determining whether or not we're going to grant a second chance, or how we're going to move about offering that second chance. You know, I've been in therapy 10 plus years, and very early on, I saw changes in how I handle situations, how I dealt with situations, how I process different things. But the reality is, I'm still working and struggling through things that were problems 10 years ago. The savior complex, the wanting to be needed. And even though I functionally know that those things are detrimental to who I am, my being, there are still things that I struggle with. Wanting to be accepted, wanting to please people are things I still struggle with, things that I still work through, things that I still have to remind myself of daily as I'm kind of processing things and trying to make choices and decisions for myself. And I say all that to say, changes don't happen overnight. As much as we want them to, as much as we believe that we're working towards turning the page in our books, the first upset, the first heartbreak, the first disappointment normally puts us in a situation where we fall very comfortably into those old habits that were probably detrimental. I have this thing where I'm apologetic. I've done it in romantic relationships. I've done it in platonic relationships. I've done it in familial relationships where I have apologized to save face. I've apologized because it is the easier way to navigate through a particular situation. Not because I felt I was wrong. Not because I felt that I was wrong, or not because I was wrong. In a lot of the situations, it had nothing to do with me, but apologizing was a way to move forward and move past that. Well, that's an issue. You know, ideally, apologizing should be done when you functionally believe that you have done something that's wrong, when you admit that you've done something wrong to yourself, when you've assessed it, and now you're like, okay, I'm apologizing because I realize that I'm the person who created this friction and I want to set the record straight. Not apologizing because it's a way to move the conversation forward. Not apologizing because it makes the other person feel better. And that's something that I struggle with. And that's just an example of one of the many things that it's so easy and so comfortable to just fall back on that and just apologize, even when you're not wrong, just so we can move things forward, that I'm still working through. So it just takes time. It takes time to become the new version of yourself, the improved version of yourself. And that doesn't mean that you're not working. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that you're not putting forth the effort, but nothing happens overnight. You know, we don't wake up one morning and become better people. It's constant work and constant effort. It's like what people have said about racism. You know, we live in a country where, in a lot of ways, white people are inherently racist, because of patriarchy, because of privilege, and it's a situation where you as a white person have to make a conscious effort every day to reject those things that inherently make you racist. And it's not until you consciously make that decision that you work through not being a racist. But that's an everyday process for those of us who have prejudices. And many of us do. against people who are uneducated, against people who make less money than we do, against people who are different, a different shade than we are, because a person is tall or short, because they have curly hair or kinky hair or straight hair. We all have different prejudices, all things that we like because a person is thicker than another person. If we decide that, you know what, I'm no longer going to have this prejudice against short people, you don't just wake up the next day after having had a prejudice against short people for a number of years and just say, I'm not going to be prejudiced against short people anymore. It is a conscious effort working towards being a better version. And what we have to ask ourselves, those of us on the other side, those who are questioning whether or not it's a good idea to forgive or give someone a second chance, we have to say to ourselves, I realize that the person who is asking for forgiveness, I realize that the person who is trying to show me that they have redemptive qualities is actively working to be a better version of themselves. But do I, in my current state, am I in the position where I have the patience, the time, the ability to wait as that person works through it? Do I have the ability to stand by this person's side as they figure out how to no longer be this way? You know what I'm saying? So I'm not one of those people who believes once a cheater, always a cheater. I'm not one of those people who believes once abusive, always abusive. But I do know that, and I think people who have been in abusive relationships can attest to that, every time a person has been abused, the abuser has always apologized profusely about their behavior. They've always promised never to do it again. They've always done certain things to create this atmosphere that made that person feel safe at that time, in that moment. And the person who was abused wants to believe that, and because they want to believe that, that's normally how they decide, or when they decide they're going to stick around, because they do love this person and they do care about this person. And so they believe that because they love and care about this person, that this actually will change, that this actually will be the last time. But the reality is that a person who is an abuser can't just say, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm really sorry about it. There's a process that they have to go through in order to no longer call on that type of behavior, in order to deal with whatever they're dealing with, because it is personal trauma. You know, even if you say that you did something that triggered me, so I did something that made you want to mush my face. Okay. The reality is that it just takes time. And I'm sure that a person can get to a space and a place in their life where they're no longer abusive, but they have to work through those things. And it doesn't happen overnight. And if you are a person who's in an abusive relationship and decides to stay with a person who has been abusive, as they work through their problems, their trauma, you're making a decision at that moment to say, we're not in the same place. And I know we're not in the same place, but I am willing to stick around and stick it out until you no longer have to call upon these behaviors in order to express how you feel towards me or towards a particular situation. And that's one hell of a sacrifice. And I don't know if people on the other side of the table always understand the sacrifice that a person is being asked to make when somebody is saying that, I realize that I didn't play this the right way. You know, I was given a hand and I didn't play the hand the right way. But I promise you, I want to assure you that I'm working through it day by day, step by step, to be the better version of myself. it's a great weight on the person who has been the victim of those behaviors. Listen, the only thing that people, I won't say the only thing, but something that's very important in any scenario is safety. Not safety in the physical sense. Not looking for someone to physically defend you, but emotional safety. People need to feel safe emotionally. And if that safety has ever been taken for granted and or abused, it's very difficult for somebody to convince themselves that things will be different the second time around. We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I've definitely been in situations where I have taken for granted or abused a relationship. And as a result of that, that relationship has ended. And as a result of that, I have found myself in a situation where I am asking a particular person to consider reevaluating the friendship or reevaluating the relationship. And sometimes the person is willing because they believe that there are qualities that are redemptive, that give them some indication or some inclination that this really could work the second time around. But we have to be patient with people who are not there yet. It's not easy. And it doesn't mean that they don't love you, and it doesn't mean that they don't care about you or care for you. It's just that in spaces where you have allowed yourself to be abused, for lack of a better word, we'll just use that terminology because that's kind of the story that I've been going with. In those spaces, you have chosen to love and care for someone else more than you love and care for yourself. And when you're in it, you're in it. You know, people stay in abusive relationships. People stay in bad situations for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. Because they don't think they have the strength to leave. They don't think that they can do any better. They've convinced themselves that, you know, this really is a form of love. This really is a form of kindness. You know, for whatever reason, they've convinced themselves that that type of behavior, that reaction or interaction is the best that they can do. Once they find their way out of it and they choose to love and care for themselves primarily, chiefly, mainly, more so than they cared or loved other people. It literally is that whole concept of the rose-colored glasses coming off their eyes. They see things totally differently. And, you know, it's funny because I was just saying this to a friend, you know, when you're not in a situation and you're looking at someone else's situation, you got all the answers. You can see very clearly the rights, the wrongs, the ups, the downs, the pitfalls. You know, you have sound advice on how they should navigate that particular situation or things that they should be wary of or careful of. But when you're in a situation, you're just too close. You're too close. But when you get out of that situation, it really is eye-opening. And so that's what makes second chances so goddamn hard. Because you can't unsee what you've seen. You can't unfeel what you felt. And if you are actively in the process of healing from those things, it's hard to conceptualize going back in a space that was so hurtful based on words and promises. Even if they're words that are pleasing to you and promises that seem palpable, it's just tough. Palatable. That's the word. Palpable. Palpable. What? Palatable. That's the word. Okay. Every once in a while, you know, we mess things up. But y'all get the point I'm trying to make. It's early in the morning. Nonetheless, I'm rambling now. But this happens sometimes. I try to be as honest and forthwith with you, my co-host. I try to be as transparent as possible. I am not a perfect person, and I had a conversation with a friend tonight, and it just solidified that oftentimes we are going through and struggling through the same things. And I say this so often because it's so true that we are living parallel lives, parallel experiences, but oftentimes we're not sharing those things for whatever reason, because we're embarrassed, because there's no space for it to actually happen, and you end up talking to somebody about what they've experienced and what you've experienced, or what they experienced and you are currently experiencing, or what they are currently experiencing that you already experienced, and you realize that we are way more alike than we are different. And this platform is to illuminate that fact, that we are way more alike than we are different. And oftentimes we are going through the same things, sometimes at the same time, but a lot of times at different times. And I want people to know, even if it means being extremely transparent about what I'm struggling with, that they're not alone, and that somebody understands and somebody cares. That somebody sees them and gets it. You know, that's just my whole point. That somebody sees you and somebody gets it. So if you are one of those people who happen to be looking at a second chance, either because you are desperately wanting a second chance, or you're the person deciding whether or not to give someone a second chance, be mindful of how the other person feels. And it's one thing to say that you understand, but think about it. You know, I think so often we ask people to do things that we are unwilling or would be unwilling to do. We want things from people that we're unwilling to give. And when asked, you know, if the tables were turned, if the situation was different, if I were you and you were me, how would you respond? What would you do? How would you act or react? People find themselves to be in situations where they kind of stutter through it. They don't really have an answer. They don't know, because they haven't thought about things on the other side of the coin. And I've been given perspective on both sides of the coin, you know, to kind of help me through it. So, again, all about second chances, all about taking them into consideration, thinking about the fact that it takes time to affect change, and being patient with yourself, and being patient with the person you're asking to see things from your perspective, or give you that additional opportunity. Well, that's all, folks. That's all I got. You know, I don't like to keep you long. You know, I'm a big proponent for micro content, because I know the folks be busy. with their short attention spans and they have a tough time focusing. So I'll leave you with that. We're right at about 30 minutes, so I think that's a good time to stop. I love you guys for real. Continue to like, to share, to post, to listen. It means the world to me that you continue to support me. Also rate when you get an opportunity, because that makes a difference. You know, I'm not trying to be famous as a podcaster, but it would be nice if I could work from home and just podcast and not have to worry about all the other things that I need to do to pay my bills. But until next time, I hope you guys have a great week. Continue to go after the joy, and definitely do not forget or neglect or put off voting. Do it as soon as possible, because we definitely need to get some folks out of the comfortable positions that they're in, because they're not doing anything for the greater good of our society. Anyway, I will talk to you beautiful people later. Love you.